Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
They don't ask how. They ask how many. The Brewers get the dub. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. We can talk about the offense. We can talk about ABS challenges. We can talk about, you know, having a no-hitter carried as long as it did. Who cares? They won. They won, they won, they won, they won. That's all that matters at the end of the day. 2-1 in 10 innings today over the Cincinnati Reds. I'm Dominic Catronio. It's return of the hotel room postgame show. I'm back on the road for TBS this week. Pleased to be joined by Jerry Augustine here on the program. You know, the headline today, though, yes, they win in 10, and it's a dramatic game. It all starts with Brandon Woodruff once again today, Augie, because 10 strikeouts, 6 shutout frames, carried perfection through 5 innings in this one. This was, I don't even want to say vintage Brandon Woodruff, because it's a new version of Brandon Woodruff. This is, you know, the 2.0, the Woody 2.0 is new and improved. Here's my heater. I dare you to hit it.
You know, you talk about the new Woody and how he's inventing himself and reinventing himself and coming on and using his changeup a lot more than he had in the past, a pitch that he's really developed. He's still a warrior. He's the kind that has no fear. He's going to challenge hitters. He's going to go and throw strikes, get ahead of hitters. And that's exactly what he did tonight. He just said, here it is, come and try to hit it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to locate it. I'm going to change speeds when I have to. I'm going to use a breaking ball effectively. But I'll tell you, he was as good as you can get. When he needed a strike, he got it. He located to all quadrants. It wasn't just throwing the ball down. It was throwing the ball up in the zone when he needed to, going in when he needed to, going away. It was perfection for a guy who hasn't been on the mound for so long to go out and pitch like that. Was pretty special.
I mean, he topped out at 95 miles an hour, rounded up. But I think the two things that jump out to me about him being back today, number one is the velo never had like a sudden dip in today's game. And consistent with what he was earlier in the year, he kind of had to build himself back up. He was 89, 90 in the first inning. Then suddenly he's 90, 91. Then he's 92, 93. And then he stayed there the rest of the game. You know, like an object in motion tends to remain in motion in my eyes for Brandon Woodruff. The other thing that jumped out to me about Woodruff, like you just said, Augie, is the command. No walks, partially having to do with the Reds being aggressive against him. And to have 3 ball counts in the first 4 batters of this game, I was sort of going, ooh, is he not going to be sharp? Is he not going to be himself? Well, he only had 2 the rest of the contest through 6 innings, right? So I think that he got first pitch strikes, 12 out of 19 first pitch strikes. That's almost 2/3. That's very, very, very good. I also see the fact that he was somebody that when the sinker is working the way it is right now, he talked about it during his rehab that he noticed his arm angle was kind of getting out of whack from where he wanted it to be. He tried to raise his arm angle now moving forward to get back to more of the movement, or I should say lower his arm angle because it had kind of gotten up on him. And now we're seeing the benefit on the sinker because he always had great fastball and the angry fastball. We've talked about that plenty for him. But him, I correct me if I'm wrong, Augie, but him front-hipping sinkers to lefties, that's a new development. Even backdooring it a couple of times to righties. I mean, that he's using that as almost like it's a breaking ball, and it's 93 with great arm side movement.
You know, if you take Woody in his early years, he was about a four-seam fastball, a little bit of a breaking ball, and he started developing himself. He started using the two-seamer, and the two-seamer started going down. He started getting used to it, and then all of a sudden, he developed a changeup, and it was there for a little bit. He got away from it. Then he went back to it. It's just a guy, you know, here's a veteran pitcher that understands what he needs to do to pitch the game of baseball, to locate the ball, and he's using it to his advantage. And you talk about making adjustments early in the game, a little bit of a struggle there. It just seemed like he was looking for that comfort zone. And as soon as he found that comfort zone, he was just off the races. As soon as he felt like he could command those pitches, he was just going, I'm going to go and I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to locate the ball and good things are going to happen. And they did. And it really comes down to being able to command those pitches, like you said, getting the good feel from that front side chain, two-seam fastball. You start getting those pitches, you start getting confidence in those pitches and locate them. They really pay off, and he really did too. And when you see what he did tonight, most of his strikeouts on his changeup were where? Down in the zone. Where do you want to locate the changeup? Down in the zone. where did some of those fastball strikeups? Up in the zone. So it really did a nice job of locating those pitches to good quadrants, and I'll tell you, it really paid off for him.
You know, the other thing about Woodruff, too, is he mixed things, right? We saw a multitude of pitches for strikeouts in today's game. Four on the four-seamer, three on the sinker, three on the changeup. Doesn't really need the breaking balls anymore. He only threw three cutters today. He didn't really need it. He just used the primary heater and the changeup, and it was good enough today against the Reds, keeping them down. And I thought that he also flipped the script a little bit the first and second time through the order, going to that sinker more often, going to that changeup more often the second time through the order as they were trying to key in on the heater, because we all know about Brandon Woodruff's fastball, right? He's a veteran at this point. The scouting report hasn't changed all that much for Brandon Woodruff over the years, but I think, Augie, you can explain it where, hey, the fastball's that good. Everyone knows he's going to rely on his heater, and they still can't barrel it up like maybe you would expect to when you look up at the radar going like, oh, it's 92 to 93. I can hit that, but yet, they only gave up one hit today. I think that kind of tells you what kind of talent Brandon Woodruff has and kind of zip that he's still getting on this ball, even despite spending more than a month on the IL.
Right, that's the effectiveness of that two-seam sinker and that changeup that he has. When you can locate those pitches where you want in the zone, showing that changeup down with a little bit two-seamer up when he wants to and get that movement on the ball, that four-seam fastball just seems like it's got a little bit of extra on it. And I tell you, that's what that has made him, where before it was the velocity on a four-seam fastball, getting to locations, and then using the other pitches to see if he had them or if he could be effective with them. Now it's the two-seamer and the changeup, throwing it extremely well, locating it, keeping it in a good part of the strike zone, and then that four-seam fastball just looks that much quicker. It's just a change of the way you approach it, and I'm going to tell you, it's the educational part when you see Woody come out the way he was 4 years ago, now reinventing himself today, and I'll tell you what, it's dynamic the way he goes out and locates that two-seamer, that changeup, and boy, explodes that four-seamer where he can expand the strike zone.
So the Brewers have to decide, do they want to keep Brandon Woodruff on like an every fifth or sixth day rotation? It sounds like, according to Pat Murphy's pregame comments, that they're actually going to stick with a five-man rotation. They did not say who is going to be going to the bullpen, whether it's Brandon Sproat or Robert Gasser, since they optioned Drew Rahm in order to make room for Woodruff on the active roster. But then the decision becomes, okay, do you have him pitch on 5 days rest and pitch again on Sunday, flip-flopping him and Robert Gasser? Because Thursday is an off day, of course, or do you hold him back and have him pitch on Monday in St. Louis a week from today, giving him 6 days off? That's what the Brewers will have to debate and decide what they want to do right now, because this version of Brandon Woodruff's pretty darn good. Just one single, no walks, 10 strikeouts, 21st career game with 10 or more strikeouts. It's the second most in Brewers franchise history. He's going to have a chance to pass Corbin Burns, who has 23 in his career. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. As we move on, we got to talk about a little bit about the offense, as little as there was on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. New texts that have rolled in here. Alex from Oshkosh, a magnificent return for Woodruff, reaching 900 career strikeouts. Who would have thought, especially with the Brewers' struggles with runners in scoring position today? Hunter from Reno, Nevada. Just want to say how much I really like having Joey as a role player on the team. Lots of players could take this as a demotion and let it ruin them, but I love how he's accepted it in place of the Brewers, not for himself. We'll talk more about Joey in segment three, because I got a little soapbox moment with Joey. But he drives in the first run of the day for the Brewers, a sacrifice fly in the top of the 10th inning to score the placed runner in Jake Bowers. But then furthermore, you know, you look at this offense today with Jerry Augustine. I'm Dom Catronio. The runners in scoring position thing continues to be a weird enigma right now for the Brewers, because I had the stat tweeted, and now it's been updated right now. But the Brewers go 0-for-6 in today's game with runners in scoring position. Yes, even scoring two runs in the 10th inning because they didn't have a hit. There was sack fly, sack bunt. Those aren't that bad. So 0-for-6 today with runners in scoring position, Augie. So they're 10 for their last 50. With runners in scoring position. That's 200 going back to Thursday. But here's the catch. Five of those hits came in the second inning yesterday against Atlanta. So they're in a little bit of a rut right now. I call it you're stuck in the mud, right? And nonetheless, they played a mud fight. They won. hey, sometimes you go through these games where you just feel like nothing goes right, and you're sitting there and you're looking at the scoreboard, and you're like, his ERA says what, and we can't hit him? It happens. And you know what? Sometimes you need to win a game like this to get your confidence and humility back to say, okay, well, we want a game playing as bad as possible. All right, let's get back on track tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right. You know, in some of the pitching they've been facing, you know, you look at what you had in Atlanta. They pitched the ball really very, very well. And Singer tonight, I think that was as good as he can pitch. He really made some great pitches. Anytime they got runners on base, he was able to make the good pitches. He really had that. It looked like he had a really good cut fastball or slider, whatever you want to call it, was able to throw the ball on the inside, show the inside part of the plate, then go away, and was very effective. Sometimes you got to give credit to the pitching, because I think the last 3 or 4 days, except for maybe a little bit on Sunday, Bruce saw some pretty good pitching with runners in scoring position. And you know, one thing when you come into this ball club, you got to keep certain guys off the base. And I thought in today's game, Singer did a really nice job with Yelich and Chirio making some really tough pitches. Those guys, I know Bryce got the double and Contreras put the ball in play, but he made some really good pitches to him. And I think that's the effect. Sometimes you get that. You go through a rut where guys make some pretty good pitches. That you get guys in the scoring position, but they make some good pitches, and you got to give them credit every once in a while. But they'll bounce back. And if you ever ask me, in Great American Ballpark, you have 5 hits and 3 runs in a ball game. That's just unbelievable. That ballpark is a great hitter's ballpark. Tonight was just an enigma how they only had the 3 runs and the 5 hits.
Yeah, I mean, Yelich at the top of the order continues to be in this weird funk back and forth where he's striking out a lot. He hits ground outs, but then all of a sudden he'll have a homer and a double out of nowhere. And then the numbers are like, all right, well, he's hitting 270. What's there to complain about? So he's been in an odd funk. Chirio's had a bad road trip. But Contreras drew a walk. That's all for him today. Bowers a walk. That's all for him today. I mean, the list goes on. It just wasn't a banner day offensively. But I think the big at-bats that the Brewers are really kicking themselves for right now was the fourth inning. Not so much the second inning, right? Because I wouldn't even argue they had Singer on the ropes in the second after the back-to-back walks when then Mitchell, Sal, and Joey went down in order after the leadoff walks. It was the double by Terang in the fourth. I thought that leading off that frame on an 0-2 double, saying, okay, go time. William flies out. Bowers pops out. Mitchell flies out. The inning's over 6 pitches later. That's the inning that I circle. Okay, that's not Brewers-y. Click that back into gear. That's not the team that's top three in baseball and runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I thought, you know, especially when he hit that double, I thought, oh boy, here we go. Now we're going to be able to do something special and train. With Contreras, made a good pitch, and Contreras hit the ball up, and they didn't have many ground balls. You look at the ground balls in tonight's ball game. I think you looked back, there might have been 5 or 6 ground balls totally in the whole ball game. So the balls were in the air. It's what you want to do when you get the Great American Ballpark. They just couldn't center anything and get anything going. And like I said before, I thought when he got himself into trouble, I thought Singer was as good as you can get, making some real, real gutsy pitches in good positions to get the Brewers off stride and get out of in tough innings.
The other thing, too, I just want to bring this up, and I know this is very new and everyone's adjusting to it here in the big leagues right now. It's the Brewers' approach to ABS challenges right now. I think that there were more than a handful today that they let go by.
I agree.
And they let not be challenges stay as strikes, right? And then on the other side, the Reds went a perfect 4-for-4 in opportunities to challenge when the Brewers went 0-for-2 in opportunities to challenge, right? So I think that there's something amiss with the way the Brewers approach their challenges as an offense. But I also want to give them a quick benefit of the doubt here, Augie. I think that the Brewers are in this perfect threading of the needle of, yes, they're a young team, but they're a young team that didn't use the ABS system in the minor leagues. Like, you look at today's lineup, Terang never used it. Chirio only got to use it for like a couple of weeks in AAA, not even. Bowers never used it. Mitchell never used it. Frelick never used it. Ortiz never used it. Hamilton never used it. Like, you get my point here, where it's that we can sit here and be frustrated, myself included, that they haven't been challenging a lot, but yet you got to understand, they're still feeling out the system 76 games into the year.
I agree with you. I think this is a This is a team that, you know, you ever see once in a while where a pitch is made and he calls a strike and they kind of pause for a minute like they were going to challenge it, but they don't. And I just think that's what they're doing. They're learning to understand the system and how they want to use it. I think as the season goes along, you'll see them be more aggressive into it. It'll be more guys going up and saying, hey, you know what? I think I can challenge this. I'm going to be right or wrong. There were several pitches today where they could have challenged and they didn't. And you see that in this ball club, just a little bit hesitant in making that. But I think as the season goes along, you get into the second half of the season where they start understanding it and they start talking about it as a team. And this is going to be maybe a little bit new of a different approach Murph might give them towards the ABS. It'll be interesting to watch, but I agree with you. They're not a team that challenges. They know the strike zone. They know how to put good swings on the ball, but they haven't done a lot of challenging so far this year.
And the Brewers, I mean, they are dead last in baseball for the amount of challenges as an offense, 53 of them now, including today. 22 of them are Gary Sanchez, and he's not even an everyday player. It's kind of nuts how little everybody else uses it. But yet, they're still a 42% success rate, which isn't that bad. Hitters are generally right about 50% right now, a little less than 50%. It's catchers that are being more favorable, but you can look at every advanced number and say, oh, they're doing well in their challenge. But like, still, sometimes like, just do it. Just find out. I'm honestly at the point now where the Brewers need to gather the data and say, all right, am I right or wrong? I need to find out if I can use this to my advantage later on in the season. It's just really splitting hairs, and I don't have any hair, Augie, so I don't know what to say about it, but it's just something that they're certainly cold with right now. Who's hot? Who's cold? It's brought to you by your friends at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you looking for a new cooling system? Well, Sider makes it easier than ever, really. You can just get a quote in under 10 minutes virtually right from home. You can get short-term, long-term financing options. All you got to do is call or visit Sider.com, Sider.com today. Families helping families since 1912. Let's talk about the man that drove in the first run of the game, Joey Ortiz, because it's really easy to pick on him, but for some reason, we're slow to praise, and today we're going to praise him. Let's talk about him next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 2-1. Dubs, all we care about. That's it. Just get the win. I know there's some frustrating moments in this game. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. You know, when I text you the itinerary, Augie, I sometimes leave it sort of open-ended. I sometimes don't give you all the details, but I think this segment is a pretty easy explainer of what I sent to you. I just said, an ode to Joey for persevering. And I think that
that's really good.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes us on the media side, and I'd like to think that, Augie, you and I, look, you played in the show, okay? I've spent my whole life around the show. I understand, at least I hope I understand, I try to convey it here on the show, how hard it is not only to play Major League Baseball, but to stay in Major League Baseball. And I was listening to Dustin Pedroia on a podcast the other day with Carl Ravitch, and he was making a funny joke about Kevin Cash. Kevin Cash, current manager, of course, of the Tampa Bay Rays, longtime Boston Red Sox as well. And Pedroia was like, Kevin Cash, you are the worst hitter I've ever seen, but you're an incredible teammate, you're a great defender, and you've got 10 years in the show. How do you do it, right? And this is a young Dustin Pedroia trying to learn from Kevin Cash. And I'm not trying to bury Joey Ortiz after he gets a sack fly today. But the point I'm trying to make here, Augie, there are a lot more guys that don't follow the Joey Ortiz model where, okay, he gets traded from the team that drafted him to a team that gave him a chance. You appreciate that, but now you're looking over your shoulder, your top prospects or shortstops, like, well, what do they think of me? And open lines of communication, great relationship with his teammates, always has a smile on his face when I go and see him in the clubhouse. Quite frankly, for Joey Ortiz to stick around in the show, he has done everything you could ask of him, aside from, of course, hitting 30 homers a season, which isn't easy. So what I'm trying to say here, Augie, is Joey Ortiz is going to be very important for this team moving forward. The fact that he can play third, short, second, all at a gold glove level, he is making better swing decisions at the plate slowly but surely. And on top of all of that, too, by all accounts, by his teammates, he is a great teammate. And those are people you want to spend time with in the show.
You know, I think you put it really well there in saying that You know, you listen to Dustin Pedroia and what he said about Cash and the type of players are. You find certain ball players in the Major League Baseball that can do a special thing, and that's play defense. And when you look at a guy that can go up and help your team be a plus defensive team, you got to look at that, and you see what Joey Ortiz has done for the Brewers. He's done that. He's done everything you've asked him to do at short. He can play third. Like you said, he can play second. He can play that at a gold glove level. He's the kind of kid that comes to the park every day and is going to prepare as if he is playing, even if he's not in the game. He's the kind of game that's good in the clubhouse. He's good with his teammates. Those are special players. And you look at what Joey's done to this for this ball club. He's made this team a better ball club because of his defense. And guys like that are so important in the game of baseball that you've got to have them. You've got to have those guys that you know you put in the game at any time, and they're going to do a great job for them. And, you know, we talked about it the last several weeks. He's got a little bit better approach. And I'll tell you tonight, he looked at what he had to do was to get the ball, put it in the air, hit the ball to the outfield, and put a good swing on it. He did exactly that. It wasn't just that he put the ball in the air and hit it to the outfield. He put it deep enough where you had Mitchell could go to third base, and the wild pitch won you the ball game. So you look at the things that he does. He works hard. He's going to approach the game each and every day like he's playing, and he's going to give you 100%. You have ball players like that in the ball game. Every team needs them. Every team has to have them. And Joey Ortiz is one of those guys that, with the Brewers, boy, you're lucky to have them.
And then furthermore, the last play of the game, right? He started the game as the shortstop. He moved to third. The ball always finds you, as it naturally does when you move positions. Makes a great sliding stop, gets rid of it quickly, gets the final out of the game. I think that sometimes that we get a little, I don't know what's the word, but I guess we just take it for granted when you're watching big league defense. Because I think people who watch the Brewers on a daily basis have a higher standard for defense than maybe a lot of other teams have, because we've seen it in this fashion for so many years, where the Brewers have so much pride in their defense. But I promise you, there are not a lot of third basemen that make that play, and there are not a lot of first basemen that make that stretch, too, by Jake Bowers on the other side either. And to do it with the game on the line in a one-run game, and to know that whenever the Brewers are in the later stages of the inning, whether Joey's in the lineup or not, that somebody on that left side, whether it's Joey or whether it's Cooper, is going to make the play. And there'll be errors. I mean, Cooper made an error in his big league debut, I know. I'm just saying that the feeling that I have, and I know you know this feeling when you're on the mound, right? When a ball is hit to somebody, you go, yeah, no, I don't even have to look. This play is getting made. And I have that feeling about Joey Ortiz, and that's what makes him a big leaguer.
Yeah, you know, having that ability to understand the situation. And right there, he's guarding the line for no doubles. And your idea is to say, you know what, I've got to protect the line. To have that understanding that you've got to protect the line, but at the same time, you might have to go to your left and make a good play. That's not easy to do, and I agree with you. I thought that play was much more difficult than he made it look tonight. He made it look easy, got to the ball, and once he gets to the ball, he's so quick to his feet, makes that good throw, and on the other end, a great play at first base. You got to have those type things. But Joey Ortiz is one of those guys that understands when he's in the game, his head is on, say, and wherever that ball is, wherever it's going to be, I've got to make that move. I've got to understand that ball's hit my left or right. How am I going to play it? I think he's a thinking man's player. And when you have a guy who's got that kind of talent, he's a thinking man's player. He's going to be a better defensive player. He's going to help your team defensively. And that's what Joey Ortiz does.
Yep, he was a big piece of today's game. The Brewers didn't have much on offense, but hey, he had the only RBI, and the Brewers win the game by a 2-1 final score. Well, tomorrow, the Brewers will hand the ball to the young righty Brandon Sproat after having cramps cut his last start short when he was really rolling before a grand slam that he allowed against Cleveland. But nonetheless, Sproat, this is a big one for him, because if he wants to stick in this starting rotation with the Brewers suggesting they want to go back to five, hey, man, here's your last chance to make an impression of why you deserve to stick around.
Yeah, and it's a tough ballpark to pitch in. It's a good hitter's ballpark. Tomorrow's going to be a great challenge for him. The Brewers went out and did exactly what they needed to do tonight. It was win that first game of series. You want to win a series, you're going to hand the ball over to Sproat, see how he can come back. He's been throwing the ball well. Last that in it, that it that happened with the cramps and things. Those things do happen, but it'll be interesting to see how he comes up and how aggressive he is tomorrow. I think you learn by people who pitch in front of you. I'll tell you what, he can learn a lot by way Woody pitched today. So it'll be interesting to see how he does tomorrow.
All right, Brandon Sproul gets the ball tomorrow. Augie, you're going to take over for me tomorrow. We're going to have Bob Brainerd in my chair, but appreciate you as always, my friend, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Looking forward to it, but tomorrow's big game. Sprout's got to have a good outing. It'd be nice to win two to get a win the series and go from there, but we'll see on Wednesday. Hopefully we bring back a win tomorrow night and makes it a little bit easy for you on Wednesday.
All right, would love that. Jerry Augustine joining us on 620 WTMJ. Thanks, Augie.
Sure. Talk to you Wednesday.
All right. I want to do a little buy or sell. Are you buying Joey? I mean, I think I made a pretty good case for him. Buy or sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. Some more odds and ends. We'll hear from Murph a little bit later right here on your home of the Brewer, 620 WTMJ. Player of the game. Interesting choices. We'll think about that. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Couple of texts. Jeff from Elkhorn. Wow. Big Woo delivered more than anyone could have imagined. Great job by the bullpen. This game shows that we still need another bat, though. I don't know where that bat comes from, but we need one. Yeah, you and me both, Jeff. What about third baseman could be available? I've openly said Nolan Arenado, but then we discovered he's really struggled against lefties this year. Honestly, I've been saying it over and over, but I'll say it again here. There are not a lot of bats available at this trade deadline. There just aren't, as far as guys that are on expiring deals or guys that have become available, because again, the picture is very cloudy right now because of how mediocre the American League is right now. And by the way, I am standing 10 toes down on my take that the Tigers are not going to trade Tarek Skubal. They win again today. They beat the Yankees 5-3. They're now 10 games under 500. They are still in the hunt, not only for the wild card, they're currently 5 games back of a wild card spot in the American League. They're also, I believe, 6 games back in their division as things stand right now, 7 games back in their division. Crazier things have happened. Look, Cleveland doesn't have J-Ram right now. Chicago has started to come back down to earth. I don't know what to make of the Minnesota Twins. Minnesota lost to the Dodgers today 2-1. If they trade Joe Ryan, they're going to fall apart. So I don't know what to make of the American League right now. So when you look at Skubal, don't think it's going to happen. When you look at anyone that wants to trade somebody that came up on my radar today, and I wonder if Baltimore would do it, is Taylor Ward. And I don't know where he would play. I don't know how the Brewers would fit him in. He can play third. He's not really that much of a third baseman anymore. He's mostly a left fielder. He's made 0 starts at third base this year. In fact, he hasn't made a start at third base since he was a rookie. So scratch that idea that he could play third, but he's a left fielder. But then you got to move Churio. Then you got to make – there's something else that would have – another shoe would have to drop if you're acquiring Taylor Ward, who's a free agent to be. He's coming from the Baltimore Orioles. Looking at his splits, how does he do against lefties? He's hitting .277 with an .805 OPS, but only one homer. So the power's been down this year for Taylor Ward. He's only got 4 homers on the season. So I don't know. It's a good question, though. We'll find out more as the trade deadline gets closer. This one from Reggie. Love how many different ways this Brewers team can win. They can score 8 runs in an inning against one of the best teams in baseball, then follow it up with a 10-inning low-scoring grinder of a win. That's a great call, Reggie. Appreciate that. This one, James and LaCrosse. Giannis for Skubal. Who says no? I'm keeping my foot out of those Giannis trade waters. I'll let the NBA fans deal with that one. I don't know what's going on there. And then finally, the other thing about this game that I really thought was important and something to note that it's on me for not mentioning them for this long, the bullpen. Bullpen got right back on track, right? We fail to give bullpen recognition when they do their job because, again, we're so used to it. Ashby, 1-2-3. Uribe, 1-2-3. McGill, 1-2-3. Kunal could have been 1-2-3 if it wasn't for a deflection on an instinctual comebacker to him, but an infield hit and an unearned run for the place runner. And maybe the most impressive stat from tonight, again, 10 innings of work, 0 walks. 0 walks from the Brewers pitching staff. That's how you win tight contests like this, keeping yourself in it. Woodruff, Ashby, Remy, McGill, Kunal, all combining for zero walks. That is a recipe for a dub. Let's hear what the manager has to say. Pat Murphy coming up on the other side of the break here on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win. They didn't actually give out our Player of the Game award. It's brought to you by International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Right now at International Autos, you can save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Go to iamilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. He's texting me, but I'll go ahead and say from the top rope, hey, Ben Brust, he's liking the Taylor Ward idea, and he informs me that Taylor Ward homered tonight. So, hey, let's make it happen. Who knows? But these trades will happen later. I don't know what to make of Baltimore either. I think when you talk about disappointing teams over in the American League, you know, aside from Boston, I think Baltimore's pretty high on that list too, that, you know, the window has closed very shut very quickly for Baltimore. But that's not our problem. We still got another 6 weeks or so until the trade deadline. Murph was happy today for Big Woo getting back on track. He is easily our Player of the Game, in my opinion. 10 strikeouts, no walks, quality start. The Brewers starting pitching is on quite a roll with quality starts lately. But let's hear what the manager had to say about Woody and grinding out this win against the Reds.
What did you think about Woodruff as that game went on inning by inning?
Yeah, I just was really, really happy for him and really happy for our team because of what he means to the club and how he goes about his business. And, yeah, it's just special, man. Yeah. Special outing. Went six innings, one base runner. And he built himself up. Now we feel like he can go deeper than that. Yeah, when he's right, you know, and the velo is up. He had a 96, didn't he, tonight? That's it? 95.5 or something? No?
I saw 94.9.
Thought I saw 95, but hey, how about it? You know, it's pretty good.
Did you get the sense that he was getting stronger, kind of building up as he got deeper into it?
Yeah, I mean, he was, after the first inning, it usually takes him an inning or two to get going, but after that, wow, he was pretty special.
I know you've said that you guys believe he can find a way with whatever kind of stuff he's got, but does that add kind of another layer of confidence to it that he was able to show the form that he did with the velo?
Yeah, he commands the baseball, you know what I mean, and he challenges it to hit his heater, and then he moves it where he wants to, and it's pitching at its greatest form, especially in today's game. Throwing a 92-mile-an-hour heater, let's say average 92-mile-an-hour heater, wherever he wants it, and throwing it basically the two and the four, if you combine it, 85, 90% of the time.
What did you see on the swings that guys were putting on against the heaters?
And it plays up. You know, it plays up.
Mark, can you remember a game like that in this ballpark?
Never.
You know, 0-0?
Never. Never. Credit that guy, too, Singer. He was great today. He's great.
What's your takeaway from him and the way he does it?
Great. Well, I mean, he's the sinker ball guy. He's down in the zone, but he has some takeoff on the heater at times. And the slider was his pitch. He located it, threw it below, threw it back door. He had that back door all day long. We had some poor at bats off him.
There's a lot of takes in zone.
Yeah.
What are you seeing from those takes?
Backdoor quality pitches. Backdoor. They weren't middle, believe me. Backdoor slider was tremendous tonight. Their catcher did a great job of keeping him on the edges. He should be commended to that Stevenson. What a job he did behind the plate. Yeah.
The 10th inning offense, is that just kind of how you guys find the way?
You know, you got some decisions to make there in tonight's ballpark, how it's going, you know. The Mitchell walk was a key, and then to have Sal lay down a perfect bunt, Joey execute. Those are three guys that are, you know, have been around this deal for a while, and they know how to stay poised under pressure, and really proud of them. Joey especially. Joey had a really great night defensively, too.
Can that be a moment to build off for Joey?
I think so. I mean, the way Joey's been swinging the bat, if you look at the last 15 to 20, he's had maybe two clunkers in there, and the rest, he's hitting the ball solid. Yeah, I'm really happy for him.
After what Brandon went through, just to see him back, but then not only just back, but the way he pitched tonight, is that kind of just...
Nobody's shocked. Nobody's shocked. That's the truth. Nobody's shocked. just because that's Wu, you know, and he takes his craft seriously. And I'm really proud of him, really proud of him and what he did for the club, because the leadership he shows doing that is pretty special.
Woodruff is the definition of special. I think we might need an effort in an interview with him at some point moving forward from the Big Wu. But, you know, for a game that didn't have a lot of runs, we still got some highlights to play. 2-1, the Brewers win over the Reds on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho-ho-ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Game one against the Reds at Great American Ballpark. Shocking, it's taken until June for the first head-to-head matchup of the season. Brandon Woodruff back off the injured list, dealing with shoulder inflammation. And, well, this game started perfect.
Ready for another 0-2 to Sal Stewart. Wind up, here it is. Swing and a miss. Oh, he got a little extra juice on that fastball. 94 on the gun. And he blew it right by the Rookie of the Year candidate, Sal Stewart. And how about four perfect innings with six strikeouts for Brandon Woodruff? You never imagined it could have looked this good when he came back tonight.
Oh, he wasn't done with the perfect stuff either. Problem is, Brewers weren't giving him any run support. Brady Singer was cutting it, he was sinking it, he was sweeping it. The Brewers started this game 0-6 with runners in scoring position. We move along now to the fifth inning. Still no base runners against
Woodruff.
Woody
looks in to Contreras. Out of the windup, the pitch, and he got him looking. A sinker at 91 at the top of the zone. Brandon Woodruff with his eighth strikeout of the night. He's through five perfect innings here in Cincinnati.
He would give up a single to Tyler Stevenson with one out in the sixth, but 79 pitches later.
2-1 to Dunn. Fly ball, right field. This is playable for Freelick. Moving to his right a couple of steps, settles underneath, makes the catch, and the inning is over. Brandon Woodruff through six one-hit shutout innings here in Cincinnati. A 10-strikeout game. Brandon Woodruff getting a huge ovation from the Brewers fans that have made the trek here.
21st career game with at least 10 strikeouts for Brandon Woodruff. Only problem was, it was 0-0. He was not going to factor into the decision. The bullpens had it from here. First, it was Aaron Ashby in the seventh, getting by with a little help from his
3-2
friends.
3-2 coming. Fly ball in towards second and caught by a leaping Bryce Terang behind the bag in shallow center. Terang got back there. He was positioned perfectly to do so up the middle, and what a timing of that jump.
Teams failed to get any sort of rally going in the final stages of this game, so we went to extras. Place runner was Jake Bowers. Garrett Mitchell drew a walk. Then Sal bunted them into scoring position. Second and third and one out for Julio.
Santillan with an 0-1. Fly ball hit to right, certainly deep enough to get the run in, as backtracking is Marte. Right in front of the warning track, he'll make the catch. Coming down the line to score is Bowers, and over to third base advances Mitchell. Joey Ortiz with a sacrifice fly to the opposite field, and we've got a run. First one of the night, 1-0 Milwaukee in the 10th.
The Brewers would add another as Mitchell got to third and then scored on a wild pitch. So it's 2-0 Brewers going to the bottom of the 10th. Joel Kuhnel going for his first save as a member of the Brewers. Got the first two outs rather quickly, one of them plating the place runner. But after an infield single by Dane Myers, things got a little stressful, but the defense
righty versus
it.
Righty on the first pitch. Swing ground ball towards third. Sliding on his knees, Ortiz pops to his feet. Throws wide, but caught. Oh, Bowers held the bag, and it's an out. And the ball game is over. What a play on each end. Ortiz and then Jake Bowers. This game ends with a 2-1 Brewers heart-stopping victory. In a pitcher's duel to remember at Great American Ballpark, Milwaukee has won the series opener.
Josh Mauer's call there. Brewers win it 2-1, back-to-back Ws, and now they continue to hold their dominance over the Reds in the division. We'll wrap things up in just a moment. The final line scores from today's contest. The Brewers get two runs on just three hits, no errors. The Reds had one run on two hits, no errors for them as well. The Brewers left five. The Reds left two. The winner is Trevor Megill. The loser is Santillan. The save to Kuhnel. 17,971 on hand to watch. It only took 2 hours and 28 minutes. Well, there wasn't much offense. Preview tomorrow and give you a quick look at the out-of-town slate after this on 620 WTMJ. Final segment of the program here, just a couple minutes left. Thanks, everybody who's tuned in. I will finally have a day off tomorrow. Well, not really. Day off from this show, anyway. I'm on the road. If you've been watching on YouTube, I'm on the road. Hotel, TBS, Dodgers, Twins tomorrow for your boy. But I'll be back on Wednesday night for that post-game show, and then we have our last off day of the first half coming up on Thursday before the Brewers close out 18 games in 17 days for this first half. So it'll be Bob Brainerd hosting tomorrow's show. I'll be back on Wednesday, and then we have a Brewers Weekly on Thursday night as well. As for the game tomorrow, like we said earlier with Augie, Brandon Sproat gets the ball, 1-4, a 5.94 ERA against the lefty Nick Lodolo. It's been a stop-and-start year for him. Slow start to the year due to a blister, but in 8 starts, he has an ERA north of 6. He is not striking out batters. He's given up homers. He's got 25 walks and hit by pitches. His whip is nearly 1.6. Opponents hitting 313 off of him, but hey, they're just numbers, as we saw today from Brady Singer. Same time, same place. 6:10 Central Time tomorrow. We're on the air at 5:35 with the On Deck Show built by Menard. Same time on Wednesday as well. That'll be Shane Drouin getting the ball for the night game getaway day. Thanks for that, Cincinnati. Shane Drouin against Rhett Lauder, the righty, going for Cincy. Now, today's been a crazy day in the out-of-town scoreboard. A couple of walk-offs that just went final. The White Sox walking off of Kate Smith and the Guardians 6-5. Sam Antonacci, a 2-run single up the middle. And Aroldis Chapman blows another save. A walk-off triple with the bases loaded by Jake McCarthy in Colorado. So the Rockies win 3-2 over the Red Sox there. That's wacky. Last time you saw a walk-off triple down by two, it was Grady Sizemore in 2006. How about it? Other game in the division, the Cardinals are hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks, and it's Nolan Arenado's return to St. Louis. And St. Louis held on to win 3-2 in that one. Andre Pallante earning the dub, only with 2 strikeouts, beating up old friend Merrill Kelly in that contest. Corbin Carroll, by the way, go make a trade for him on your fantasy teams. He is white hot, and the Brewers will have to deal with him in 2 weekends' time in Arizona. And then finally, elsewhere, again, we said it earlier that the Tigers defeated the Yankees 5-3. Everybody will be on Scoobal watch moving forward. The Dodgers over the Twins 2-1. Shohei hit a leadoff homer in that contest as well. And then finally, the Cubs were rained out. Second consecutive game that they were rained out, postponed in Queens. They were supposed to be taking on the Mets. So we will all wait and see what tomorrow has in store for us. Congratulations and welcome back to Brandon Woodruff here into the rotation and back onto the active roster. We'll see if he starts on Sunday against the Cubs or Monday against these Reds again. Maybe they want to break things up as things move forward. Again, same time, same place tomorrow, 6:10, first pitch. Sproat v. Lodolo and Bob Brainerd will be bringing you all the coverage here for you on 620 WTMJ. Tell your friends, the podcast, the YouTube, wherever you need to find it. Brewers All Access is the podcast channel wherever you get your pods. Our producer's been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.